Okay, I'm going to talk to you this evening about blessings and responsibilities of being a Christian. Being a Christian is not just blessings. We know we receive blessings, but there's also responsibilities. Every person has some big events in their lives, don't they? One big event is when we're born. It's a big event. Another big event is, for some of you, graduation. I never graduated in anything, but some of you graduated, and that's a big event. Others, when you got married. When we got married, it was a big event for me and Sue, and I'm sure for each one of you. Also, when you had children, that was another big event. When we become grandparents, another big event. And we be grandparents again for the fifth time in 2 weeks. We're looking forward to that. That's going to be another big event. And of course, the last big event will be when we die. And we all have to go through that. But the most important event for anyone is becoming a Christian. I believe that that's the biggest event. There's no bigger event than one becoming a Christian. And the reason I say that is because Christianity, it affects both you and others for eternity. And when we become Christians, it's not just about me. It's about others. It's about others, all those that we will lead to Christ. We become Christians, it's not me anymore. Before we become Christians usually, normally it's always me. And becoming a Christian means, what about my neighbor? What about my family? Our concern is for them, that they'll also be saved. And that's, of course, will be eternity for anyone that becomes a Christian. Because everything else will pass away, as you all know. We could be millionaires, it doesn't matter what we've got. We'll all pass away, we'll leave it all behind. But eternity will stand forever. Unfortunately, for some people, or for many people sometimes, becoming Christians, but don't really appreciate what it means to be a Christian. And sometimes they realize, perhaps late in life, what it means to be a Christian. And it's very sad when you see Christians giving their lives to Christ, and yet there's no action, as if nothing happened. And people will give you many reasons. They say, well, I'm too young and, you know, I haven't got time for this Christianity thing. They say, I've given my heart to the Lord, that's enough for now. Perhaps when I'm older, I'll have plenty of time and I can do Christian things, what other Christians do. And that's very sad. And we see it over and over again, where someone give their hearts to the Lord. They're on fire in the start, and then sometimes that dies down. It was very sad for me this week to see someone on TV who was a very committed Christian. Most of you would know this person. He's been on TV many times. And he's been a very clean living person. He sang beautifully Christian songs on TV and everywhere else. He's very popular. And I seen him this week on TV, and I thought, what happened to this young man? He's full of tattoos here, right down to here, earrings. And I thought, it's not a good example to be living as a Christian. And then, if he done that before he became a Christian, I would have thought differently. But now for a young man who professed Christianity, who's been preaching the word of God, who's been telling people about Jesus, who's been singing songs about Jesus, now that he became famous, and pretty rich too from his singing, now to be given the impression, to me it's very sad. I don't know about you. So people will give you many reasons why they can't be bothered with Christianity at this stage. In this person's case, he's still young, he's still got a long life ahead of him, and where I thought he's going to be really on fire for God now that he became famous. I've never heard him speaking about Jesus anymore. I haven't heard him sing one song about Jesus anymore. And I'm not trying to judge this person, but it's what I've seen. And I was really disappointed this week. But our service for Christ would be more productive and more enjoyable if we began to grasp the true significance of being a Christian. And this evening I want to encourage you to have a closer walk with God, to be more faithful in our service as disciples of Jesus Christ. And to encourage us today, to encourage us in fulfilling this goal, we're going to look at a few of the blessings and responsibilities we have as Christians. And we're going to open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. One of the biggest blessings we have is that we have God as our Heavenly Father. That's 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. So John says, look at the love the Father has given us. We are called children of God. And we are, John says, we are children of God. John leaves no doubt here that the world does not know us, but we shouldn't be surprised at that, John tells us, that because the world did not know him. In fact, the world rejected him. But God will never reject us as our Father. We can be sure of that, that he will never reject us. Sometimes people will reject us, and there's I can tell you of many instances where people rejected others because they became Christians. One young man who married this young Christian girl and started going to church with her. His parents were so worried, his mother and father. They thought he's going to join the Moonies, you know. They were terrified. And I had an opportunity to speak to the parents. And they said, what we want to know now is that our son is married to a Christian girl and he started to go to church. What's going to happen to him if he decides not to go to church anymore? What's the worst thing that can happen? Is the church going to tell him to leave her, to leave him? What are they going to do? And he was so worried. You could see it on his face. And the mother was so worried. And I said, the worst that can happen to your son if he stopped going to church, he'll have the church praying for him, and he'll have his wife praying for him. And they looked at me with a sigh of relief. Is that all that can happen? I said, yes, that's all that can happen. I said, we're talking about Christianity. We're talking about the love of God, and I was able to share a bit with him. I was amazed to think these parents, just because their son started going to church, he wasn't a Christian, but he started going to church because his wife was. And the parents are so worried that their son is going to, something huge is going to happen. We do get rejected sometimes as Christians. I told you about that young man who became a Christian and got kicked out of the house. I'm sure I've told you before. I met this bloke at the chemist. And we knew that he was a lead singer in a band called The Claves. And one time he actually played in our wedding. And I met him at the chemist, and he had this big pile of medication. And I said, oh, how are you doing, Joe? He said, oh, as you can see, not too good. He said, look at all this medication. And he said, oh, by the way, he said, my son started going to a church like yours. I said, oh, that's good. I said, have you asked him to pray for you? He said, what? He said, pray for me. He said, I kicked him out of the house straight away. Told him never to come to my place again. This person just passed away. Actually, I just heard the other day that he just passed away. He kicked him out of home because he became a Christian. He went to a Werribee church. So yes, we do get persecuted sometimes. But God never does that. He never rejects us. Our Father in heaven, he loves us so much that he will never reject any of us. Today, you hear of people hearing about church, and they think, oh, church, you know? And this is because things that's happening now. We know with the Church of Scientology what's happening. They're always on the news. And people think, this is your church like that? See, they don't understand. We need to tell people what church is all about. That we serve one mighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, not men like the church does, Scientology. Let's consider the blessings of having God as our Father. Let's look at James chapter 1, verse 17. It's James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. James tells us in this verse that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God. God loves us and he desires to give us his best, doesn't he? To give us his best for each one of us. It's the character of God to give. That's our God. That's his character. He wants to give because he is good. He delights in giving good gifts to those who trust him, to those who love him. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, we won't look at it. It says, as we obey his commands, he promises prosperity. Now, when you read this verse to some people, they think prosperity is having $1 million in the bank, having a Porsche in the garage, having $1 million yacht waiting, floating for us at the beach. But prosperity doesn't mean that at all. Doesn't mean riches. It could mean for someone to do well at school, for young people. It means that to do well at your job. It could mean having a good wife or a husband who loves you. Having the family of God. This is a great blessing, having the family of God. The Bible contains story after story of how God has blessed those who obey him. Isn't it? We could read many, many, many blessings in the Bible. We could spend all day of how God blesses. That's his heart, is to bless us. In Psalms chapter 65, verses 9 to 13, it says, God's blessings flow in abundance towards his people. Sometimes we take God's blessings for granted. I really believe that. I think there's blessings all around us, but we take them so for granted. We take just today, just in a couple of hours. I'm sure when we leave here, most of us probably go to our car. Some of you haven't got a car, but most of us probably will go into a car, drive home. I think all of us will be driving home. None of us will be driving, finding a bridge to sleep under tonight. I'm sure we have a home. And then if you're anything like me, when you get home, you probably open the fridge and find something to eat. If you're hungry, maybe a bit of cheese and biscuits or maybe a sandwich. After that, maybe go to bed. Comfortable bed, you got your pillow. These are all blessings. I don't know how you see these things. I see these all blessings, and it's only within an hour or 2 hours in one evening. We get up in the morning. Most of us go to work. That's blessings. And continuously, we're being blessed and blessed, and yet we take these things so for granted every day. The Bible says every good gift comes from God, and every perfect gift comes from him. God is perfect, and everything which he does is perfect. Therefore, his gifts are not only good, but they are also perfect. You know, sometimes we pray for a job. There's a job, and we pray, and nothing happens. And say, Lord, where are you? I applied for this job. I didn't get it. You know why? Because God probably has a perfect job for you. Because God only gives good and perfect things. Sometimes a young man or a young woman praying for a husband or a wife. Say, Lord, this nice young man, why could I marry that young man? You know why? Because maybe God has someone perfect for you. I heard one time, I think Billy Graham's wife, she said, if God always answered my prayers, I would have married the wrong man many, many times over. I'm glad he doesn't answer all prayers. It's actually on the Alpha course. Okay. So having said that, there are responsibilities of having God as our Father. We have blessings, having God as our Father, many, many blessings, as I said. But there's also responsibilities for having God as our Father. First of all, that we must submit to God. Let's have a look at James chapter 4, verse 8. Sorry, James chapter 4, verse 7. Keep your finger there. We'll look at another verse there in a moment. Chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Okay. So we must submit to God. You see, we begin our relationship. When we become Christian, we begin our relationship by submitting to his word, and submitting is very important. We live day by day submitting always to him. When we become Christian, we stop submitting to the world. Before we become Christian, we submit to whatever the world tells us. But as soon as we become Christian, we start submitting to God. And that's how we live, day by day, submitting to God. If we're at work, we submit to God. If we're at home, we submit to God. If we're at church, we submit to God. We don't put masks on. It's so easy to be wanting at the church and then put a mask when we go, you know, when we go somewhere else. There's no masks in Christianity. We need to be the same everywhere we go, whether we meet our neighbor, the way we speak. We speak the way, same way we speak at the church, submitting to God in all things. So remember that He is the Lord. He is the master, and we are the servants. God calls us to a relationship of love, of trust, of grace, forgiveness, and openness. So first of all, we must submit to God. Secondly, we must draw near to God. Let's look at James 4, verse 8 this time. James chapter 4, verse 8. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Well, the first part, they come near to God, and he will come near to you. What a wonderful invitation there, isn't there? A wonderful invitation. Just as an earthly father delights when his children want to draw near to him, so does God. You know, we don't force our children to come near to us, and God doesn't force us to draw near to him. But when we do draw near to him freely, he loves it. God loves that. He created us to have a relationship with him. That's why he delights when we draw near to him freely. What an incredible promise we see here. God has promised not to back off. That's God's promise, not to back off. He is always ready to respond to us with his love and grace. And as we draw near to him and allow him to draw near to us, an amazing thing takes place at that time. As we draw near to him and he draws near to us. Jesus refers to this as abiding in him and he in us. Let's look at that verse in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in divine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am divine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So Jesus is telling us here, remain in me. And what is the promise? I will remain in you. But there's a condition there. We need to remain in him first, and then he will remain in us. Jesus makes it very, very clear there that without him, we cannot do nothing. Without him, we're just wasting our time. In fact, why would we even try to do it without him? Verse 5, Jesus again makes clear the identification of the branches, and he brings out the principle of the utter, the complete dependence of the disciples upon him. We need to depend on him for everything, every single thing, for our daily bread, for our shelter, for our safety. We need to depend on him. You know, the first prayer in the morning, my first prayer in the morning, I thank him for the day. Thank you, Lord, for this day, for this is the day that you have made. We know he can come at any time, but he's given us another day. Another responsibility we have of having Jesus as our Lord is in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? If he is truly our Lord, then we must do what he says. What matters is not simply hearing Jesus, that's the easy part, but obey his words. And I spoke a bit about that the last time I spoke. It's not just hearing the word, you can hear it till the cows come home. But doing what Jesus says, obeying his commands. God's heart is always to bless. You know, even in the beginning when God created the birds and the fish, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 22, God blessed them. He blessed the birds and the fish. Right from the beginning, from creation, God's heart was to bless. And if he was willing to bless the birds and the fish, how much more will he bless us? Each one of us. We don't need to look at these verses, but I'll just read them for you. Psalms chapter 29, verse 11. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Now, to me, the blessing with peace means more than anything else, means more than having the Porsche in the garage, means more than the $1 million in the bank, means more than the yacht we might have. Having God's peace in our heart means more than any possession in the world. I don't know about you, but to me, that peace that God gives is so wonderful. Nothing comes before that, nothing. And when God blesses us with his peace, you know, we should rejoice that we do have that peace in our hearts. As you know, there's not much peace out there. You have a look on a Friday night and Saturday night, what's happening, you know, around town. In John chapter 1, verse 16, it says, from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. All of us, one blessing after another. And that's what I was talking about before, that we take him so for granted. We will be receiving one blessing after another. Even now we are being blessed by having God's presence with us. We'll be blessed as soon as we get in the car, as soon as we get home. As soon as we have something to eat, as soon as we get to bed, we're blessed. They're all blessings. But unfortunately, sometimes we can take them so for granted, those blessings, instead of saying, thank you, Lord, for what you have provided me for today. You've provided me with so much. I can't even remember all the blessings that I have received just in one day. And of course, the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, we'll read that and then we'll close with those verses. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. And I'm sure most of you are very familiar with this. Chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." I don't see there, blessed is the millionaire, blessed is the one who's got the Porsche, blessed is the one who's got the biggest yacht. What an amazing God we serve. He's blessing us. As Christians, that's what we should be. Every one of those verses, that's what we should be as Christians. That means he's blessing us over and over and over again. What an amazing God we serve. His heart is to bless us and bless us abundantly. May we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we do thank you, Lord God, this evening, Father. First of all, for your presence here with us, Lord. Father, for we know, Lord God, that you've promised us never to leave us, never to forsake us. Lord, you've promised us many, many blessings, Lord God. We could go all day with all the blessings that you've promised us. And I know, Lord God, we are receiving those blessings, Lord. I just pray, Father, we'll never take them so for granted, Lord God, that we be aware, Lord God, of all that's around us, all the blessings that's around us, Father. Lord, even just being here among brothers and sisters, such a blessing, Father. I just pray, Lord God, for those perhaps who are not sure, Lord God, that they are receiving blessings. Perhaps some might think blessings is for others, but not for me. I just pray, Lord, that they will realize that the blessings are for them as well. Father, not just for some, but for all. That promise was for all. All will receive those blessings. So, Father, I just pray, Lord, that you continue to bless each one, Father, abundantly. For you're a merciful God. You're a good and awesome and wonderful God who loves us so much, Father. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.